the truth.
You see, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, November 11th, 2021. How do I summarize all of this stuff? Let's see. That was not what I wanted to do. I mentioned, I think in the last 2 days, actually, where is that? That's going to bother me. I mentioned Joel Dimsdale's book and his talk, Dark Persuasion, The History of Brainwashing from Pavlov to Social Media. And we actually played a clip of that. But and by the way, it's interesting. I would really kind of categorize Dark Persuasion as more of a limited hangout than an actual expose, as so many things usually are. He doesn't get in, he basically says, we'll have to wait on the social media aspect of things. So that's interesting. But, we have other hints from people, again, like Chamath Palihapitiya at his 2017 Stanford School of Business talk, and telling these people, these young academics, they're the most vulnerable to these kinds of things because they've been checkboxing their whole expletive lives. And so they've been groomed in Skinnerian, operant conditioning sort of fashion to actually behave. I mean, what people don't realize, what Elon Musk said, we're becoming cyborgs, is far more accurate than most people realize, because we've been groomed over the last 100 years. There was that picture, I forget the name of it, 100 years ago. I mean, when Metropolis was published, for example, already by then, and I've mentioned other quotes like H.G. Wells writing about this, machines can toil better than and more efficiently than man, back in 1939. The oligarchs had already decided that man was obsolete because machines can labor better, more efficiently, and with less error. What was the image? I can think of that. There was that kind of post-industrial age imagery that accompanied all of this, and the regimenting of man. I mean, so many things, like the time zones and things, have all sort of corresponded to this push through industrialization to merge man and machine. It's been going on for a lot longer than the last 50 years, say. So you know, part of that regimental process was, you know, through schooling, conditioning and social engineering people to behave in this, you know, to turn us into a carbon-based abacus, basically, to have us behaving more like machines. And you can see, I mean, that process continues. You can see it, I think, plainly in evidence like the whittling away of art programs in schools, for example, and to really dial down the creative thinking of people, which, again, was foreshadowed by folks like Frederick Taylor Gates 100 years ago. So, you know, to understand how deeply pervasive that is, and again, you know, like people say, if you want to know what water is, don't ask the fish. I think a better way to sort of contextualize the point is a fish in a fishbowl, because the fish can see out of the fishbowl but doesn't realize it's in a bowl. You're outside the bowl, you can see it. And so people who have gone through this process of social engineering to become mindless automatons, robotic, in a very real sense, they don't understand how that has happened. And I guess that's one reason why young people can laugh at Chamath Palihapitiya when he says, you guys don't realize you're the most vulnerable, you're the most susceptible to this, and the least capable of seeing, you know, how you've been, how deeply and pervasively you've been programmed, or entirely reprogrammed for that matter. So, you know, Chamath Palihapitiya says it's time for a hard break from social media. He says, I haven't been on it in years, maybe two or three posts in 7 years. Did anybody take him seriously? Jaron Lanier has been around this technology for a long time, and he sounds and behaves more like a Luddite more and more, I would say. The father of virtual reality technology. Kaczynski obviously argued for a hard break, especially from the digital stuff, you might say. And, you know, I usually say that, I mean, even Kurzweil acknowledges the validity of the message, but, you know, Kurzweil is sort of gloating by quoting, or, you know, he's a minion, sycophant. You know, he's sort of he's kind of rubbing it in the face of he's kind of the Renfield to Dracula, I guess you could say. You know, I really think that including Kaczynski's, you know, the Kaczynski manifesto excerpt, Industrial Society and Its Future, is a way to say, yeah, that would be great. There should be a turning back and a turning away from some of this technology, but it's not going to happen. It's kind of gloating, I would say. And there are deeper, more far-reaching implications there. Obviously, you know, it's interesting. So, one other point real quick on that. So this thought sort of keeps trying to escape. Speaking of the deeper, more far-reaching implications, what was it that we played recently? Reminds me of that. There's the argument, you know, with the technology, there's always the argument that, oh, I know what it is. Hayek's road to serfdom, politically speaking. You know, and this calls to mind the alchemists and that's a whole deep, dark discussion. If you're paying attention over the last, say, 100, 200, 300, 500 years, you see the rise of the alchemists. And they usually use phrases like, you know, I believe in the God of Spinoza. It's interesting that, you know, theoretical physicists are all Kabbalists. That was a remark that even Einstein made. Basically, you know, to paraphrase, I believe in the God of Spinoza is what, you know, they all say this. And that's a deep, dark conversation. Maybe we'll come back to at some point, because I think it's applicable, but probably not right now. You know, so the Spinozian, Swedenborgian, you know, fast forward theosophical kind of bent, this esoteric, you know, reaching into the abyss and extracting whatever one is sort of encouraged to extract. Charles Ponce wrote a book, interesting, Kabbalah, an Introduction and Illumination for the World Today. That's an interesting book, and I don't know, probably not something that people should read, but speaking of this, you know, the different spheres of alchemy, you know, metaphysical, political, philosophical and psychological, and, you know, just trying to create, basically pulling out of the abyss and pulling things into the realm of reality, so to speak. But it's interesting, you know, one reviewer of that book on Amazon mentioned, you know, the title of the review is A Theosophical View of Kabbalah. This person writes, what I found most interesting, however, was the final section of the book on Kabbalah Today, where Ponce approaches an analysis of Kabbalah in a theosophical way, comparing it to other traditions like Native American, Hindu, and Buddhist, showing the common themes and roots among them and the relevance of Kabbalah to any sincere seeker. And this also sort of touches on the conflict that Pike wrote about, and Pike wrote about this too, by the way, that in Morals and Dogma, that this is the kind of the substrate of all of the mystery and esoteric stuff that we see these days. But, you know, it also hints at the conflict that Pike wrote about in the most prophetic letter never written to Mazzini, outlining three world wars, the third in particular, this conflict between political Zionism and political Islam. These, you have these little enclaves of fundamentalist elements, you might say, that lend themselves to conflict. Anyway, the point, speaking of deeper, far-reaching implications, in Chapter 10, The End of Truth, or excuse me, Chapter 10 is Why the Worst Get on Top, 11 is The End of Truth, of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, basically he's saying in the opening, we might, you know, if we look objectively, He says, although this, we must not deceive ourselves into believing that all good people must be Democrats or will necessarily wish to have share in government, many, no doubt, would rather entrust it to somebody who they think more competent. Although this might be unwise, this is nothing bad or dishonorable in approving a dictatorship of the good. Totalitarianism, we can already hear it argued, is a powerful system alike for good and evil. And the purpose for which it will be used depends entirely on the dictators. And those who think that it is not the system which we need fear, but the danger that it might be run by bad men, might even be tempted to forestall this danger by seeing that it is established in time by good men. And so then he gets into the moral basis of collectivism after that. You know, the morals that it produces, not the, as he puts it, the usual discussions of ethical aspects of collectivism refer to the question of whether collectivism is demanded by existing moral convictions or what moral convictions would be required if collectivism is to produce the hope for results. And he says, our question, however, is what moral views will be produced by a collectivist organization of society, or what views are likely to rule it. And so, you know, we hear about technology. Well, you know, that technology could be used for good. Same argument applied to, you know, technocracy, shall we say. What is the result of it? And again, the deeper more far-reaching implications are usually these ideas come out of the abyss. Someone staring into the abyss, you know, guys like Steve Jobs, for example, with an esoteric and even occult sort of background, you know, these gatherings and things, you know, I mean, the stories are numerous, innumerable perhaps, you know, the Jack Parsons kind of stuff, the staring into and reaching into the abyss and pulling this stuff out. And so if that's what's happening, and again, you know, you listen to guys like George Friedman, I mean, put together what he said with Jack Parsons and JPL, for example. And it's a short trip. And, you know, and then, I mean, CERN and all of this symbolism that speaks to bowing at the altar of, you know, the goddess of war, for example, and staring into and reaching into the abyss and pulling all of these ideas and technology in alchemical fashion out of the abyss and trying to establish them here. And, you know, so that those are the deeper, I think, you know, that sort of hints at the deeper, more far-reaching implications and really shines a bright light on, you know, I think in Streisand effect sort of fashion, this effort to, as Charles Baudelaire put it, convince the world that the devil didn't exist. The finest trick, you know, convincing the world that he didn't exist. But, you know, where do these things come from? People don't just think these things up. They come from somewhere. They have help. You know, and you go back in history, so many people, you know, Tesla, what's his name? Not Edison, but what's his name? Newton. And all of these guys, you know, going back in history, you know, Pascal and Maimonides and, you know, all of these thinkers spent time staring into the abyss and sometimes even in alchemical fashion reaching into it and pulling stuff out. And that's something, again, that even guys like Albert Pike acknowledged. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Click the donate button and assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee.
RBN can continue to accept donations via our PayPal account as you did before. We are not accepting checks or money orders made out to RBN at this time. If you have any other questions, please call 800-724-2719 extension 3 and please cancel your automatic payments.
The network thanks you.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Welcome back. All right, go to the phones in a second. So fast forward to today, you have the Michio Kakus and the Ray Kurzweils, you know, again, the Kabbalists staring into the abyss in alchemical fashion, trying to pull it out. And guys like, you know, Bill Gates, the Lizard King, I think he would prefer to live in the abyss and sort of swim in it. But, you know, again, borrowing from Carl Zimmer's Mindsuckers article, maybe the Sith Lord is not the puppet master he once seemed. Instead, maybe he hides another puppet master within. And that's kind of the danger, you know. You start dabbling in this stuff and you become a slave to proliferate this kind of evil. And that's where I was headed with Bill Joy's article. I'll get back to that in a second because that's what he says. You know, the way that he put it, I think it is no exaggeration to say, he said, I had no idea when I came into technology that this is what I was stepping into. But he said, I think it's no exaggeration to say we're on the cusp of the further perfection of extreme evil. An evil whose possibility spreads well beyond that which weapons of mass destruction bequeath to the nation states, onto a surprising and terrible empowerment of extreme individuals. And he got pretty specific on some concepts. Maybe I'll get back to that. But that's, you know, that's kind of the point. The inoculation for this, so to speak, you know, is the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ himself, you know, our high priest, intercessor, etc. That's the inoculation, if you will. You know, that's the antidote to all of this and that alone. And that's why, you know, all of that is being occluded from the landscape. To the phones, David in Massachusetts, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, happy Veterans Day, Chris. I haven't talked to you in quite a spell.
Hey, how you doing? Haven't talked to you in a million years.
Yeah. So I tell people very often when I wish them a happy Veterans Day, they say, half the time they say, well, Dave, I'm not a veteran. And I say, well, it doesn't matter because I am. And I have every right to wish you a happy Veterans Day, even if you're not a veteran. So, you know, I wish people a happy Mother's Day, too. And I'm not a mother. But
right. Sure.
Chris, you know, Chris, during your second hour every day, Alex Jones comes on live, you know, at about 5 minutes after 12 East Coast time. Mm-hmm. And that's you beginning your second hour. But, you know, I've made incendiary radio, Robert Rayvol's show there. I've made similar calls to this, but. You know, I want to expose and warn people about I call them the carnival, the Texas carnival barker. The Texas carnival barker. That Alex Jones, he fools people because he's always talking about God and Jesus and the devil. And, well, let me remind people of something. The original Judas that walked with Jesus on the face of this earth, the original Judas talked about God and Jesus and the devil also, but he still betrayed Jesus. Woe unto those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And Jesus said, many, many will come after him, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And Satan's preachers, Chris, and I know you can receive my call. I know you're really spiritually mature, Chris, but a lot of these dumbbells are taught by their satanic preachers that you know, pose as the ministers of righteousness. They're ministers of Satan. That means that there's going to be a whole bunch of people come and say, hey, I'm Jesus Christ. Follow me. I'm Jesus Christ. No, that's not what that means, that when Jesus said, many will come after me, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These are these preachers that come along, and they preach Jesus of Nazareth, you know, Jesus that was crucified and everything. But then they go on to, they take his name in vain, and they go on to fool the people. Well, listen, that carnival, that Texas carnival barker, he's the biggest Judas goat. He uses patriots like to wipe his filthy, stinky Republican bum. He uses patriots like toilet paper. Everyone that's ever got close to him have gotten wise to him, with David Knight, Millie Weaver, John Rappaport, Nick Begich, Nick Fuentes, all of them. He wipes his filthy, stinky Republican bum with patriots like their toilet paper, like their bum wad. And you know, there's Stuart Rhodes, you know, he has these patriots on, and then he gets them in hot water.
Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, November 11th, 2021. So, you know, here's my comment to all of that, David. So the Carnival Barker is obviously an integral figure in the carnival, to use your analogy, right?
Yeah, I'm here, Chris.
So the Carnival Barker is an integral figure in the carnival, right? To use your analogy.
Right.
And could we draw parallels between the carnival and, say, Plato's Republic, the allegory of the cave in Plato's Republic?
Go ahead, Chris.
There are things that the Carnival Barker wants to draw your attention to, and the carnival is not real. It's kind of an escapist little fantasy that people spend time in with all kinds of freakish things that happen and stuff. So I would say, in, you know, there are a lot of parallels we could draw between the carnival and Plato's cave. And so in that sense, I would say that all of the cast of characters should be viewed with a degree of skepticism and scrutiny. And so, speaking of Rhodes, I would, you know, as Exhibit A, perhaps I would offer the Revolver article, Meet Ray Epps, the Fed-protected provocateur who appears to have led the very first 1-6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Maybe that should circulate in Congress, I don't know, and on some of the major legacy media networks. But they detailed in that piece, and also on a previous piece, that one was published in October, but they published another one back in June, where they dug into the relationship between Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers, and the artist known as Ray Epps, and, you know, the various connections there. So,
well, Chris, I'm not familiar with Ray Epps, but I'll tell you this: as you probably know, that Stuart Rhodes is a Yale boy. He's from Yale University in New Haven. My only question is, and I suspect this, but I have no proof. I don't know if possibly you know. Is he Crypto Skull and Bones? Is he one of the Brothers of Eternal Death? Is he? He's a Yale boy. That Stuart Rhodes. You know? Do you know anything about? Huh?
I would encourage you to maybe take a look at those two articles that I mentioned, and, you know. So the one back in June was titled Federal Protection of Oath Keepers, quote unquote, Kingpin Stuart Rhodes Breaks the Entire Capitol Insurrection Lie Wide Open.
Yeah. So, Chris, following up, one point I want to make, and I think I brought this out on Incendiary Radio, Alex Jones promotes himself as the tip of the spear. But what I assert is he's the tip of the Q-tip, as in the tip of the QAnon Q-tip, okay? And what he's doing, you know, so few people understand this, Chris, but I have so much respect for you, Chris. I know you'll understand it. You're an old ancient spirit with great wisdom and understanding. But as you know, Chris, because you're, you know, very astute with the Bible, God's word, sacred scripture, but humanity is compared to an ocean and a sea. The sea of humanity and everything. Well, as the Klaus Schwabs and the George Soroses lead humanity into the Great Reset, into the New World Order, they need their Judas goat, Alex Jones, because what happens is they know humanity has to be a controlled reset, is to be led into the New World Order. It has to be controlled. If it's not, in other words, just like when you're having a medical procedure or something, you have to sign your consent, and the doctor will explain what's going to happen to you. And he may, you know, there's a risk of death, you'll die from anesthesia, or this, or he tells you what things are going to be painful, where you'll experience a little bit of pain. Well, that's where Alex Jones comes in. Day by day, step by step by step, Alex Jones leads humanity into the New World Order in the Great Reset. Because if they didn't have an Alex Jones to control the surge of humanity, the sea of humanity might become confused, and the next thing you know, the sea of humanity might become tumultuous, and frothy waves might start rolling up on the seashore, and these frothy tumultuous waves, if the sea becomes tumultuous and unrest, and it might come up and overflood the seashore and cause extensive flooding, and that wouldn't be good for the New World Order and the Great Reset. So Alex Jones has to take a step by step on a daily basis further and further and further into the New World Order. But he's after, Chris, as you know, he led the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and everything. Isn't it interesting? They're all languishing away in solitary confinement in Washington, D.C. But Jones and that other filthy, stinky Republican bum, Stone there, Roger Stone, they're free men. The patriots are all languishing away. Don't follow that Jew. In other words, I urge patriots, keep a close eye on that traitor, on that right. Judas goat and everything, but never, ever follow him.
Yeah, we got to get back to the phones. David, I appreciate it. And the simple way to deal with that is, you know, withdraw your consent and your listenership. But, the comment I will make, two things that stand out to me. I mean, you can sort of lead the shaping of narratives that way, what you're talking about, and coinciding with that, you can create limited hangouts. Obviously, you can dead end certain issues, and one of the most effective ways to lead people along in gradualist, incrementalist sort of fashion, speaking of that style, is to shout constantly about things that sound like a 10 or an 11 on the Richter scale. Meanwhile, what happens is maybe a 2 or a 3 or a 4 on the Richter scale. And even though there's an element of legitimacy to that, it does two things. It discredits message and messenger, discredits message by way of discredited messenger, and also sort of anesthetizes people to the actual events that are happening in gradualist, incrementalist sort of fashion. So you shout about a 10 or 11, and, you know, there's a split in society. The loyal listenership says, look, it happened. You know, these concepts are being reduced beyond the point of irreducible complexity. There are nuances. So they say, look, it happened, but there isn't the clarification that this part or this, you know, it happened on a smaller scale. They just say it happened. And then conversely, out there in the public, you know, friends, family, whatever, say, no, it didn't happen. And what they don't say is it wasn't a 10 or an 11 on the Richter scale. And so there is that, you know, double bind sort of schizophrenia inducing situation that also foments conflict between people that might otherwise not be in conflict with one another, and probably would be in agreement and come together in like-minded fashion and say, hey, there's something wrong here. So it's a very sinister technique, in my opinion. Anyway, back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I always enjoy hearing Dave.
Yeah.
So
me too. It's been a while
for me as well. Chris, did you ever, and I hope I can say this in a way that people will understand. I believe you will pretty easily. Did you ever wonder what would cause someone to be willing to give up a physical body, flesh and blood, and take hold of a silicone body, be willing to give up life to try and attain a state of godhood or perfection outside God's plan? And kind of elaborate on it. What I'll say is, if this is really, Chris, a seed war, going back to Genesis 6 like we always do, if they are the children, the seed of the serpent, and we're the seed of the woman, they know they have no chance. So you can understand why Richard Seed or Dawkins or Kurzweil or others, you know, I heard that Disney was an extreme futurist that was decapitated and his head's frozen in hopes of implantation or reanimating the body. You can kind of understand why they're doing what they're doing. It's amazing to me that the church doesn't understand what's going on. This is real. They're looking for eternal life outside of the one way. You know, when God became man in Christ and he entered the house, okay? He came into the tent that he stretched out above us. God became man in order to give us life and more abundantly. Satan is actually in the tent. It's his tent right now. He has dominion. And he's set about to destroy God's creation in every aspect, just like he did prior to the flood. If God loved us so much that he would send his son, that he would become man to redeem, to buy back, what do you think the devil thinks about mankind?
Yeah. And so what you said, I would say, you know, just to sort of flesh that out, maybe pun intended, not really. But, you know, that article, Carl Zimmer's Mindsuckers article, combined with Genesis 6, you know, read Carl Zimmer's article and then read Genesis 6 and think about the implications, which speaks to what you're saying.
Well, I don't have the ability to put it into words, but I know what I understand. And it's time is just getting so short, you know. I would, and
Carl
I
Zimmer,
hope and pray that people, pardon me.
Carl Zimmer writes about these parasites that turn their hosts into slaves. You know,
yeah,
effectively
I
zombies.
Yeah, I read the Mindsucker article, and that's amazing.
So, you know, you think about that, and you think about Genesis 6 and the reemergence of that, because Genesis 6 says, you know, in those days and also after, and Jesus said, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so you, like you're saying, you know, what does this character think about man, and what kind of nefarious tactics might he use? What kind of nefarious strategy might he adopt? And so you start thinking about this, basically what we have talked about, what you see in the Bible and throughout history, this character seducing man, beguiling man into becoming his own undoing and his fellow man's undoing, basically becoming a slave, you know, in the fashion that Carl Zimmer writes about, for example. Parasite takes over, creates a slave or a zombie out of the host, and bends it to the parasite's bidding. And then, you know, rinse and repeat.
Isn't it amazing that they're all insects? I mean, you think about, like, the ladybug or the cockroach or, you know, the different things that were mentioned in the article.
Yeah.
It causes me to wonder, Chris, what happened, and I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but a question to raise to people that are listening. What exactly happened in the garden to cause man, cause God to come into the system? And I'm saying that intentionally, folks, to come into the system, to create Adam and breathe into Adam, who he formed from the dust, and he became a living soul. What happened prior to that to cause God to come in and even create Adam? That's a question worth asking, because in God's providence and his omniscience, he knew what was going to happen. Everything that's unfolding now, he knew was going to happen. We need to get that through our minds and deep down in our hearts. So what happened in the garden? And what happened in the garden to cause, and I'm going to say it this way, I'm going to be very polite, to cause the penalty for Eve to be pain in childbirth and the penalty for the serpent to have his head crushed by the heel of the seed of the woman. Something happened, and it was pain in childbirth was her penalty.
And all
now,
of that
she literally,
that hints at what I was talking about with the Kabbalistic references also, because that whole, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, field of study and devotion is all wrapped up in, you know, sexual overtones. I suppose I'll put it that way.
Absolutely. But if she ate fruit from a tree and God is a righteous judge, don't you think she would get sick to her stomach or vomit? Something mm-hmm. happened, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to Genesis 5, is it? 4 or 5. It's the book of the generations of Adam. It goes mm-hmm. from Adam to Noah without mentioning Cain or Abel. Mm-hmm. So why? And I'll leave it at that. I know you're getting close to the end.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated. Yeah, you know, truly, I think that you know, the more that you look around and pay attention to what's going on, especially in the information age, if you can just go back, you start going back a few hundred years. Like I said, I think yesterday, you start looking at the names that emerge and the things that were written or the things that were excerpted from their writings and that have been sort of snipped together, if you will, in the, you know, post-Gutenberg era. How about that? It becomes very telling. Again, you know, I would say almost in Streisand effect sort of fashion, trying to hide something that then just becomes painfully obvious, you know, this theosophical bent, if you will. Anyway, back to the phones. Ken in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Ken.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yes, there you are. Here. Good afternoon.
Okay.
Afternoon, boy, was that interesting. To me, right?
I wanted to talk about Ray Kurzweil for a moment, but I remember mm-hmm. John having a guest on one time. I think he said he was a pastor. This would be maybe a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the tree of life and, you know, these things. And then he said, well, it wasn't really a tree. And I said, it was like more like a euphemism. I said, ooh, it never occurred to me that that's what they were talking about, you know, vis-a-vis the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing that keeps bothering me when I keep hearing about this Ray Kurzweil, I don't really know that much about him. I don't know if he's related to the instrument company or not. I mean, mm-hmm. they've produced some high-end stuff over the years.
Yeah, he's the progenitor.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I think there's a big difference between transferring somebody's soul or essence, if you will, into a machine. When the machine's entirely digital, what kind of resolution would you require to reproduce it? None of it makes any sense to me. I think, you know, put it, you know, to pardon my French, I think they're playing with themselves. It's going to be a long, long time before we get that sophisticated. And I'm not sure it could ever be done.
I agree with Jaron Lanier, you know, when he said, it's so weird to me that Ray Kurzweil wants the global computing cloud to scoop up the contents of our brains so we can live forever in virtual reality. It does sound implausible, but that's kind of my point in the, you know, saying these you know, guys like Ray Kurzweil have been staring into the abyss and basically reaching into it in alchemical fashion and trying to pull this stuff out. Where else does this stuff come from? Who would think of such a thing? But really, again, that hints at the darker forces behind these things that are giving Ray this information. It's not to do that, actually. It's the opposite. It's to have us become slaves in an agenda to make these suits for these demonic inhabitants, and then to effectively get rid of mankind, the pesky fly in the ointment from Genesis 6. And, you know, what Jordy Rose has said, I think, hints directly at that.
I think the if he was staring into the abyss, the technology, if you will, would have to be a lot different than digital. It would have to be something closer to the analog. I mean,
well, that's been discussed too.
And, yeah.
You know, digital is just a crude kind of first step. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that even if we get, say, fooled or beguiled by, let's say, hooking wires up to a monkey and having it respond or being able to communicate directly with it, that you would still have only scratched the outer layers of the onion, the I.O. section. You might be able to understand the I.O. function, but you would not understand what's going on behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, you know, if you were uploading somebody's brain or essence, you're going to have two copies. What do you do? Do you kill the original and you have the confidence that what you put it into isn't going to break down?
Yeah.
I mean,
I used to
joke about getting the chips. You know, if you're using Chinese chips, so would you trust your ASS to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if somebody kicks the plug?
Oops. Wouldn't even have to do that. It's just the manufacturing quality,
right?
And the
yeah.
Oops. Yeah. You know, something mm-hmm. detaches internally.
Yeah, right, there are innumerable flaws in the idea, but you know, I mean, the fact that it's being pursued again hints at a time frame I think that's spoken of in Daniel and Revelation particularly, and you know, that's my supposition. I mean, it doesn't make sense otherwise. Why would you want to do this? Why is this the bent? So
well, the I think the only way it could work is if the thing that you were downloading it into was biological in nature or somewhere close to what we are.
Well, yeah, that's a discussion for a different day. We're obviously out of time, but you know, the way that Kurzweil puts it in Age of Spiritual Machines in particular, you know, it's the silicon based life forms that are more efficient than these carbon based life forms. So anyway,
but the resolution isn't there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Much appreciated as always. The final word, I think, from Jaron Lanier, reminding us that even Alan Turing said, in attempting to construct such machines, we should not be irreverently usurping his capital H power of creating souls any more than we are in the procreation of children. Fukuyama would have something to say about that, right? Rather, we are in either case instruments of his, again, capital H, will, providing mansions for the souls that he creates. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Thank you, Chris. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow
RBN. All right, gentlemen, stand by.
And help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. And click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.